Are you getting my point? And that really happened. It really happened. And he said to God, was that not what I said while I was still in my country? Why, before you go throw me inside the mouth of fish, I told you I didn't want to go because you are a kind God. I knew that if these people repented, you wouldn't punish them and then I would look like a fool. But that's not my message right now. What I'm explaining is that the same principle applies also with blessings. Are you getting my point? If God gives a word of blessing, if God gives a promise, listen to this, it has to be activated to come. Something more, in fact, what his promises do is to give your life direction. That's why I started at the beginning by talking about the hope. There is something you are expecting from God. Are you getting the point? What the blessings of God, I want to read something. What the promises of God do actually for you is to give your life direction. Now, there's something I want to read quickly. God was speaking to Abraham. Notice this. He said, from verse 17, Genesis chapter 18, said, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Notice this, verse 19. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Notice the reason why. So that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Did you notice that? That God said, I have chosen Abraham. I have a promise. I have spoken certain things about him. But that thing will not come to pass if he does not teach his children after him, his whole household, in the way of the Lord, if he doesn't teach them how to practice righteousness and justice. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, God gives a promise. If it doesn't come to pass, it does not mean God has failed. You follow my point? It just means that the people that the word was preached to did not profit from that word because they did not do the things that were necessary for the blessing to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what we are talking about, walking in an expectation of God's blessing. I said something the other time, that it is in adversity that God decides who is going to use and who he will not. Do you get my point? How each person responds to adversity. I explained that God is not slow concerning his promises. But what he's saying is that the reason why it hasn't come, that's what I'm talking about Jacob, is that there are places that I need to get to in your heart that have not yet gotten to. Therefore, the blessing has not yet come. You've heard me preach this again and again. There is no point. Bible says that, how did he say again? He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink. He said, because your heavenly Father knows that you need these things already. You get my point? That is, if God knows you need something and he has not yet released it, there must be a reason. There must be an obstruction between you and the release of that glory of God. And that's what we are talking about. That if somebody is going to experience God's manifestation, or let me put it like this. I want to turn the other way around. That if you have not yet experienced the manifestation of God, all right, the reason is because you have not yet reached the place that God wants you to get to. Do you get my point? Therefore, the person who is really walking in an expectation is building himself up at all times so that he can get to that place. And we said that Peter was explaining this. He said God is not slow concerning his promises. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me just read it so that I can emphasize the point and make it very clear. He said, but do not let this one fact escape your notice. Verse 8, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. There's something you have to understand here. When he said that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, that's what I was explaining earlier, that God is very patient and is not in a hurry. But what he's saying here is this. If what you should accomplish in 1,000 years, if you can accomplish it in one day, then you will discover there will be a sudden release of the manifestation of God's glory. Do you understand my point? You see, many years ago, I came to understand this, and I wrote something on my wall in the office when I was still working in Lagos. I said, the more the time you waste, the longer you will have to wait. You know, it rhymes very well, doesn't it? Yeah, I got a spirit. No, but that day I just came to that understanding. I was studying and I understood this. That what God was saying in effect is this. The more the time you waste, the longer you'll have to wait. Because a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years with it like a day. That is why, look, your primary assignment, Paul said, is to labor to enter into the rest of God. I tell young people everywhere I go to preach that you must understand, God has not called you to make money. Do you understand my point? God has called you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if the conformation to the image of Christ is abundant prosperity, you will see it. You don't have to struggle about it. Do you get the point I'm making there? That if what God is saying, that if what God has created you for is to be a manifestation of wealth, once you are conformed to the image of Christ, you will see the thing naturally. Look, listen, you will discover things working by themselves that you're trying. You know, we spent about 9 weeks discussing that. When we talk about the Grace series. In fact, our latest MP3 CD, that's all that's it. It's just a series on grace. There are 11 messages total. Two of them were preached outside here. I just included all of them. Now, I hope you're following what I'm saying here. That you see, you don't have to try. The results of God come automatically. You follow that? But what God is using this season, your waiting period to do, is to bring you to the place where you can receive that inheritance. And he said, God is not slow concerning his promise. If you can do everything that you within a day, then what people waited for 1,000 years, you will see it in one day. But if what you could have done in one day, you wait to finish it in 1,000 years, then the promise of God in your life will wait for 1,000. Do you follow the points he's making there? That is, what controls when the promise of God is released is when men have come to the fullness of repentance. That's what he's saying. Now, that's why Paul said, Acts chapter 20 that I referred to earlier, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now, it's so important that Christians understand this, because a lot of us believers, you know, we live life very, very, very casually. I was going to use the word carelessly. Same thing. And I told you that I wasn't sure of which title to give this message. Initially, I said the power of sin. That is, I wanted to explain the fact that sin, we've discussed before, is not a moral question. You know that. Sin is the gap between where you are supposed to be and where you are currently. That is what is called sin. You get my point? And that is what hinders the manifestation of God's blessing. But the second title I now think I decided upon now is what I would call living carelessly. You get my point? The reason is that we focus our energy on the wrong things. We focus on trying, like I told you before, that's the pop. Every book you read, you see around these days on success. That is all they do. 15 steps to emergency breakthrough. You're getting my point? As if you can machinate those things and cause them to happen. You can't. You follow what I'm saying? That God is the one that will decide when the time is ripe and he will release that blessing. I told you a story some time ago that once I watched MC Hammer. You know MC Hammer? That was when he was still MC Hammer. Now, this is what I'm saying. I watched MC Hammer. I told you this story a few times before, but I just like to use it to emphasize this point again. I watched MC Hammer long ago. This was too legit to quit. The message was at the beginning. When he was, you know, he was practicing, because the dance was supposed to be to go and collect Michael Jackson's gloves. It's so funny. Was going to show Michael Jackson that he's a better dancer. All right. No, that's really what happened. That's really what happened. They put a caricature of Michael Jackson there, actually, at the end. All right? Now, so he practiced to go for that contest, you know, like for that battle. You know, exercise and everything. And this clown, what's the name of this black clown? The godfather. What is his name now? James Brown was supposed to be the godfather in that place. So after a point, he got to a big, you know, set of doors, big doors, knocked on it, and the door opened, and he entered this long judgment hall. It appeared like, and he made a statement which I've never forgotten. You know, maybe as a spiritual man, you see everything from a spiritual perspective. He said, am I ready, Godfather? Do you get my point? He didn't say, now, Godfather, I'm ready for my miracle. He didn't say that. He went in there nicely and said, am I ready? And do you know, that thing has never left my head. That the guy didn't try to step out into anything until the Godfather said he was ready. Are you getting my point? You know, I remember when I taught my wife to drive. You know, and I remember, and if you young men, listen to this. If you are going to be the one to teach your wife to drive, it's one of the most difficult experiences. In fact, Mike one day suspended his wife from driving permanently. That's why he's laughing. It's one of the most difficult experiences you will ever have, except that I'm warning you ahead of time, so your own might be sweet. So I remember one day, I forgot what she did. It was in UNEC. We were using UNEC grounds. And so I said that, forget it, you ain't driving again. Let's just go back home. So we went back home. So I said, no more driving lessons. You are not driving. If you want to learn to drive, you will have to go to driving school. I cannot go through this again. You understand? And there was one agreement. So one day, she's a very nice and humble person. So one day, she finally agreed that, okay, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called their students. So I said, all right, these are the rules. If you want me to teach you to drive, I said, these are the rules. I said, number one, anything I say you can't do it. No matter how much you feel like you can do it, once I, the teacher, says you can't do it, it is final. You can't do it. She said, accepted. I said, good. Now, there were some other rules. And I said, okay, and I said that, no matter what I say, no matter how I talk to you, it is okay. If I shout on you, it is all right. If I'm angry and I scream, it is okay. Now, you know the interesting part? This is how God is, and this is very, listen to this. So she agreed with everything, you know, like, what shall we do now? We have to drive. Napoleon is always right. Oh, you didn't read Animal Farm. Napoleon is always right. You know the interesting part? One day, I think I went to pick her from work. I think UBA, Station Road, that's Opera Avenue. And I said, drive home. You know, she was surprised. I said, you can. Drive. You know, she was really surprised. I said, don't worry, you can. Now, this is what I'm making. If we're still fighting, you know, because I am the master. You know something? I've been driving for a long time. I know driving. You don't. If you have been arguing with the master driver, you follow my point? Which is what God is in this situation, you will have been there for a long time. But if shortly after she accepted that I'm always right, she discovered that she had gotten farther than she would have arguing with me. Because that day she was not even planning to drive on the road. She thought we would still be practicing. I said, no, from now on, you drive. I'll sit beside you. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That you see, I decided that, okay, now your skill is good enough, and then I release the blessing. You're following that? You're following that point? And that is exactly what Peter is explaining here. That you will get to a point and you don't have to beg God further. And that in your period, before that manifestation comes, that is what we are saying. Your whole life must be built around trying to get to that place. And you see, I want to end on this, because maybe we'll continue from that next time. I don't want us to stay beyond our allotted time. Now, I want to end on this point. You know, I was talking about Jacob. What God was doing all the while in the life of Jacob was bringing him to the place that he wanted him to be. Do you get my point? Remember what we said about Abraham? That if they don't learn to do righteousness and justice, God's promise in the life of Abraham would never come to pass. Do you follow the point? So what he was doing was training them in righteousness and justice. And this is a fact. That is what God is training you for. I told you before that the manifestation of God's glory can kill if you're not ready for it. Really, it can't. That is why, you know, when the man said that I went to fast for 60 days for the power within my hand right now. My bros, you're on your own. No, honestly, you are on your own. No, really, I don't want all this one of harassing things out of God. If God thought I was in order, I wouldn't beg him for it. Because you have to understand, when you harass God enough, sometimes God too wants peace of mind. He said, Gabriel, give him, let him go. I beg. Do you understand my point? In the wilderness, what did they do? They harassed God so much that God gave them meat after they are lost, he said, but that brought leanness to their souls. Are you getting my point? Any man come and say, look, before I became this anointed, I did 40 days fast. Well, see this guy? 2 days fast, I'm not planning for it. You know what I'm saying? The way people call fast. Do you see me? I won't harass anything out of God by going hungry for 100 days. No, I won't. I am not interested in it. What I do is that every day, and I'll end on that practical note in a moment. Every day, I'm coming up to the place where God wants me to be. And it's the method I said I'll end up practically in a moment. And anytime I get there, do you get my point? God will release the power without your harassing him. I was saying that if he did before that point, it will kill you. Many men who have received things from God, like that is why they died. No, I'm serious. It was that anointing from God. It was that blessing from God that finally ended the guy. He said, God, why did you not give it to him? He said, the guy wouldn't let me rest. He said, I had to choose between him dying from fasting or him dying from the weight of glory. So I said, well, let the weight of glory kill him. You understand what I want to say? Because when he was there every time, shouting, God, 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 I said, okay, take. But he couldn't handle it. You get my point? It was like the day my son followed us to the gym, you know. I went with Pastor Anne, so I can look in with us. So when he entered the place, you know, of course, men, we are men now. You know, you pick up a dumbbell, you know. So the first one he picked was the one that, just one that those the women use for aerobics. They just hold it and be walking up and down, you know. So he now came to where the real iron was. You know, he will see the way daddy will just bend down, just grab the thing. And now we're talking like maybe 40 pounds, 50 pounds. You know, just grab the thing and, you know. So the guy went, I think he wanted to grab it like that. And to his surprise, the thing was screwed to the floor. You know what I'm trying to say? The guy used to drag it and he looked the weight. No, that's the way it is. If you have not been built up, you can't handle it. You get the point? If you have not been built up, you can't handle it. And that is why God doesn't release it. That's why I said, you see, the issue is walking in that expectation. Listen, people say faith is now. You see, I am one person that I don't understand the meaning of that thing. I'm sorry, you know, I may disagree with popular faith teaching. I don't understand the meaning of faith is now. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just said, I don't understand. Say now. God, you should believe God now, you get it now. I said, Abraham is the father of faith. 25 years before Isaac came. Are you trying to wait for 25 years? No. But I'm just saying it's not a sin. What faith really does is that it gives you an expectation. It doesn't harass things and bring them instantly. No. What faith does is to give you an expectation, gives your life direction. You begin to move in a particular fashion that shows that you are expecting something from God. And at the appointed time, at the proper season, it will come. You know, one of the problems we had with teaching of faith is that people who didn't, maybe you believe in God for $1 million, those who didn't get it didn't have faith, and those who did have faith. Which is not true. It is not true. Like we're saying today, Kingsley, on that radio broadcast, I said, listen, if you are poor as a 25-year-old man, there is nothing wrong with it. If you're a young woman and you marry a poor guy like that, you are just a blessed person. There is nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing. Let nobody drive a flashy car and make it look like my faith works. Arrant nonsense. What's the big deal? A 28-year-old guy is driving a flashy car. What's the big deal about it? If God calls you and sends you to China as missionary, you carry your E-class there. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean, no, believe me, it doesn't mean anything. What faith does for you is to give you an expectation. Let nobody fool you that you will get it now. No, I don't believe. I don't believe that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Do you get my point? But what does it do for you? We're talking about that expectation at the beginning. It lets you know that, look, I can't take this. Abraham looked at the goods of the king of Sodom. He said, I better go. I don't want it. When will my own come? I don't know. But it's coming. That's for sure. You're following what I'm trying to say? But what we hasten is coming. It's simple. That I move quicker in the development that God wants me to develop. I said I was going to end with one thing. Let me quickly get to that. Now, this is a practical tip I give all the time, and because I will develop again on it next time. And remember, let me just read that Acts chapter 20 for us to just use that one to close it. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, I have found out that he really meant it. You know what I'm saying? That he said that this is how your life will develop, that you follow what I teach you. That's what he was saying. That development will come to your society as you obey the things that I say. He said, he that follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I don't know what I'm getting to say. That you will sit in the center of economic adversity as you are developing. God is telling you what to do, what not to do, what to do, how to work. And you find that in 20 years' time, you are controlling the biggest companies in the nation. That's what God is going for. Not believing God for a car. What is it? Look, listen. I like cars. I like fine one. I do. But the faith we are talking about is not to drive a fine car. And we are saying that, the other day I told you that the president was talking on air during this last economic summit they had. And I'm sure that was the briefing that the finance minister, CBN governor, must have given him. That if Nigeria maintains a particular fiscal discipline, maintains some policies, that was it 20 years he said, or 15 or 25, something like that, that the projection they had is that at that point, Nigeria would be amongst the world's leading nations. That if you group them, the first world nations will be around the bottom of the first world nations or will be at the top of the second group. Listen, by that time, MTN will be small if it's telecommunication you're talking about. What faith is supposed to do for you is to position you right now for where you will be in that time. You get what I'm trying to make. And look at this faith for shoe, for guru, for ekpa. That is not what we are talking about. No. No, you are talking about a faith that understands that God wants to reform a nation, but he cannot appoint a king until he finds David. Listen to me, Saul was never God's idea of a king. Saul was an emergency arrangement because of the pressure from the hearts that didn't understand God. Go and study the scriptures well. You will have known that God will have appointed David anyway, even if they didn't ask for a king. A time will have come. Someone will have risen up and said, God said I should appoint for you a king. And I have found a man after my heart. Because he gave them laws about kings before they got to the promised land. He already gave them laws how kings are supposed to walk. And those are the things we have to understand. I said, walking in an expectation of God's glory. One of the things God is trying to teach you is how a man is supposed to walk when he enters the promised land. Until you learn it, you won't enter the promised land. You think God is not tired of the rubbish politics we practice? You think he's not? The reason why he has not ended it is because there's no replacement yet. Look, you think God is not tired of these over-invoice contracts that goes all over the place that waste public money? Why he hasn't ended is because there's no replacement. So what he just looks for, he looks for a thief that is at least generous. No, I'm telling you the truth. Look, I'm being honest with you. I'm not joking about what I'm saying. I'm being very honest. Expectation, look, we're not talking about faith is now. Those are children talking, I'm sorry to say. What do you mean by faith is now? That the shoe you wore today is not fine enough. You want another one tomorrow. So now you get shoe for tomorrow. Listen. Right now, God is saying that, the other day, they listed the most capitalized banks in the world. Nigeria, did we get to number 200? I don't know. Any of Nigerian banks? We're very far down. May God bless the president. May he bless particularly the finance minister. And may he bless the CBN governor. Those people, you need to pray for them. These three people I've mentioned, I'm serious. If all you need to do is stop watching what rubbish people are saying. I mean, look at real things for goodness sake. Pray for these people. You see the way they are guiding the nation to the center of prosperity. You will see it. Now, why Zenith is running up and down looking for money? Because Okonjo-Iweala said, look, listen, you want to handle Nigeria foreign reserve? You got to be capitalized up to the tune of $1 billion. No Nigerian bank is capitalized up to that level. Now they begin to run. Everybody begin to jump up and down. Say, man, this is work. Now, the other day I bought a financial standard. I've not thrown it away. And it's still inside my computer bag. If you check that bag, wherever it is. Where is it? I think it's outside there. It's still there. Pension fund. Government realized that they can't continue paying pensions the way they pay. Now you just drill oil, sell it, change it to Naira and pay pension. There are people who have to invest now for their future. These are the things that we are discussing. And the men that will take charge of these things are the people that God really wants. So what he's doing now, he's training them now. I was preaching in NYC camp. I was telling you Kingsley at that time. I said, I went to NYC camp to pray. I said, so they will come and tell you that, you see, there's no light. They came to put you in this village where there's no light. I said, what they did not tell you that God is saying, this is your opportunity to lay a good foundation for your future. Bless these children. They will pray for you and I will make you one great man one day. Not running back to Lagos where you become a non-entity because there is light. You have to learn to lay a spiritual foundation for your life. That's what we are saying. I'm talking about economic development of Nigeria. Listen to me. Economies are always controlled by people. You get my point? Economies. Look, This is our friend. What's his name? The Jew, the Hungarian Jew. George Soros. George Soros drove down the value of the pound personally. A man looked at the Bank of England. He said, this pound, I will throw down the value. He skimmed it. One man. If you see the way he did it, you know that, look, Robert Kiyosaki calls people like that capitalists. That those guys are not investors. You know, if you read Robert Kiyosaki, give you different levels of human beings. There are people who just work and earn wages. Then they are happy that they are being highly paid. There are those who don't have to work, and their investments work for them. That even if they go to sleep. In fact, Robert Kiyosaki says that until you reach that point, you are not rich. You are a poor person. No matter how much you are paid. Once you have to keep working to get money, then you are not rich yet. That you need to be able to go and sleep and do nothing and still have food. So then you can now face what you really want to do. Most people work just to have food, and it's a very ungodly thing to do. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, when he described, he talked about people like George Soros, that those guys are capital. They are not investors. Investors invest hundreds of millions of dollars. But capitalists, no. They can shake a whole nation by making a statement. Do you know that if there are men who will make a statement and a whole company will collapse, if Warren Buffett says that that company is not good, listen to me, next day, your share price, you will be shocked. That he just said carelessly, maybe they are trading MTN in South Africa. Warren Buffett doesn't say that. MTN is not a good company. And he says it flippantly. He didn't even know when he said it. You'll be shocked. Because people know that this guy is not a joker. No, really. He's the second richest man in the world. Look, if people like that want to make you a billionaire, they can do it by just uttering one careless statement. Maybe you start one rubbish company and it just says that that company has a bright future. For saying that, if your share price was $1 for one today, by tomorrow it's $100. Are you getting my point? That is where God wants to place people. They are believing God for sure. I'm not saying it's bad. You have to train your faith somewhere. But then when you say your faith is now, if you don't get that shoe, your faith is not now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That you have an expectation, you start learning how to walk. You start learning how to use power. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Look, I read this man's book, Just As I Am. What is his name? Billy Graham. He said one of the things they had to learn early was how to talk to great men and still behave yourself. So these guys, look, people who sent for him, they would call him, please come and explain some things to us. Winston Churchill called him. He went to his office. They had a personal discussion. American president, do you know he kept all those things secret until each person died? And even after that, he would never tell you what they really discussed. He said he had to learn it early. Because with one American president, he made the mistake. Nobody taught him. He came out of a White House, and the press was saying, what did the president say? He said, our president said this. What did he say about this? He told them. Ha! After that, he said he became personal non grata in the White House. He learned his lesson. What am I saying? Before God brought him to the level where he got to, God had to take him through certain amounts of training. Something happened this morning. My wife missed a very important appointment because I sat her down and said, listen, people who succeed in life, you have to make certain sacrifices. And I give examples of those who never did. And you saw what happened to them. I said, this thing might be serious. I said, but please, it's a sacrifice I personally, your husband, have to make. I'm sorry. Look, that's what God is training people with. You know why? Because he's not looking about, he's not looking at now. That's what I'm talking about, that faith is now thing. He's looking at the expectation you have. That one day I want a person who his voice will be stronger than that of Warren Buffett. But I can't make you now. You talk too much. You'll just be spoiling the companies and creating useless ones. That you talk before you think. You grumble like everybody. The economy is bad. Go and listen to how people like George Soros make money. They look for bad economies. They say those are the cheap places to make money. No, I'm serious. They'll just look and say, look at this small African country. The guy with your pocket like $10 billion. Walk across. In 2 years, he has made $5 billion extra. And he's gone looking for another poor country. I hope you're getting my point. That is where God is taking people to. And he's saying, look, right now you have to start walking in expectation of my doing that in your life. I said I was going to give a practical tip, but I already said these things. I hope you learned a thing or two from it. Let me just go back. Let me just conclude the message so we can go. I wanted to say something practical, but that's about development. Let me just say this simply. Listen to me. Let me just say this. Where you will be in life has been found out. If you want to know where you will be tomorrow, check the books you are reading today. Let me just end with that. Check the books you are reading today. That's what will tell you what you are going to be like in 10 years' time. Listen, you have to start forming opinions using the word of God, not what is popular. One of the worst things you can do to yourself is to be politically correct. Did you hear what I said? One of the worst things you can do to your future is to be politically correct. Say what everybody wants to hear. Agree with them all the time. You know what I do these days? I shut my mouth. Because I almost never agree with anybody. So I shut my mouth. I don't say anything. You have to learn to judge with God's word. You know, one example, the experience my wife and I had, which I let me just use as a story to just conclude. Do you know, long before I even, in short, I'm sure that time my wife must have been in GSS or primary school, when I started having these ideas about marriage and relationship with in-laws and all that kind of thing. So I'm trying to say that I was not even anywhere near marriage at all. So much that by the time my wife and I met, and those days, and the shortly after we married, she used to think that something that I was a harsh and difficult person. The day I told my mother that she had no right to enter my kitchen without telling my wife was embarrassed. But shortly after, her friends started getting married, and their husbands didn't take those stand, and she started seeing turmoils in the houses. She said, my God, this man was right. Listen, she knows, between me and my parents, we have fantastic, as a family, we have fantastic relationships with my wife's family, with my own parents. We have no problem. Now listen, the day I told my mother that thing, she didn't mean harm. I was just explaining something to her. My Akinlu was born, so she came with my sister, they visited. So, and she didn't want to trouble the nursing mother. She was hungry. So she told my sister, go to the kitchen and prepare something for me. I called her back. I said, Biola, I told mommy, please, you can't send Biola to my kitchen when my wife is there. If you need something, ask my wife. Then if she says she can't get up, she will not ask my sister to please help her. Oh, she said, okay, sorry. I said, yes. My wife said, look, why are you so hard? Wait now. Then when she started hearing stories, she began fear. Say, God, I thank you for delivering me from this kind of... No, I'm telling you. Listen, what is right, spiritually speaking, is not always popular. It's not always politically correct. That's what I'm telling you. No, I'm telling you the truth. What God is doing, you know, Emma, remember that our friend who I said won't marry until God teaches him right things. Now he's learning it. I said to him, Emma, just watch this guy will soon marry. No, there are statements you make, and God said, I can't give you a wife. You won't handle that properly. I'm talking about walking in expectation of the manifestation of God's glory. What you will have to do is to every day start learning to think with God's ideas. That is why I think your life is really in trouble if you don't read regularly. You know what I said today? The problem with most people, they don't read. Don't ever tell them that, I don't enjoy these books. You decrease for head if you say that kind of thing. What are you talking about enjoyment? What kind of enjoyment? I'm saying read for your life. You're talking about enjoyment. No, I'm always proud when I see people carrying books, always reading something. Always reading something. Because that's the only way your life will improve. That's the only way God will guide you to the path of righteousness. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, because he has to build you up first before he can give you your own inheritance among them that are sanctified. Listen, Nigerian banks, watch it. In a few years, they will be capitalized to billions of dollars. The men who we heard it, God is grooming them now. The chairmen or the chairpersons of those banks, God is grooming them now. Companies that will make MTN look hungry, they are coming. The chairpersons, the MDs, the directors of finance of those companies, they are being groomed now. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how to get a bigger car. Look, don't let me keep you for too long. Let's go home. Let us pray.